Yeah, I asked that question for a reason. Who are you? Because the Word of God says, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that word thinks means believe. You know, I look at Abraham. When God called Abraham, and he asked him to get up, leave his kindred, leave his town, leave his country, and go to a place he would show him when he gets there. By a show of hands, how many people would get up tonight and leave, pack all your stuff and go somewhere and you don't know where you're going?
Sober?
Sober. By a show, and that's an awesome thing. Yeah. That's an awesome thing. To be able to believe there. And see, and that's a process to get there. And I want to say something. Like, this is my big sister, Eunice Taylor. She's the pastor at the Karis House. And this is my little brother back here, Landis. And they come up. And before I go to Abraham, I'm going to go. My big sister's been an inspiration to me. You know, I know her all my life. I know her 60 years. And my sister was a mess. We was young. Coming up, and 40-some, better part of 40 years now, she changed her life.
Come on,
yeah.
Come on.
And amen. I thought, you know, she started following my mother, and they started going to this church over this little bitty pastor, and I just kept thinking, this is just a hoax. This thing's going to, they'll be back, you know, because my mother was a pistolero. My mother carried a pistol everywhere she went. Mama used to be in the choir over at Pilgrim Baptist Church, have her pistol in the choir stand. True story. True story. Seeing my mom was the kind of person that we had four kids at that time, and we'd be going to the doctor, and if a dog ran out on us, dog, he was through. See, my mom didn't play no games. He dog around her kids, he was through. You should have had your dog on a chain. You know what I mean? Mama had no problem pulling that pistol out and going to work. You know. But when she went to this preacher, and then I thought, oh, yeah, right, okay, see what's really the deal here, you know, because I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that. People don't really get changed. You know, people go to church and they give a little money and they start doing something different. You just start covering up what you do. God bless you. You cover what you do. That was my thought. And then she started dragging my sister. And then I thought, no. Something's wrong. You know, I really thought, well, something's wrong. But I watched my sister. I watched my sister over the years. Even through my struggles, I watched her. And it was real. Something was different. You know, I wasn't the oldest, but my mom came to me. And I could have been like, I don't know, 18, 19 years old, something like that. If I was there. She gave me her pistol. She says, hey, baby, she said, take this. She said, I don't need this no more. And I said, what? What? I mean, even in that, Mama was a young Christian. And she was, didn't know. I mean, if she was where she is today, she probably wouldn't have gave me that pistol.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But she was separating herself from yesterday. She was separating herself from yesterday. I can remember a story from my big sister. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get into the word. I was running down, going down the street one day. I got into it with somebody, and I had an old piece of pistol in my pocket. It was a two-piece pistol because it was broke. You know, I had to hold the two pieces together to make it work. And my sister pulls up beside me in the van. I see the van stop. I see it's my sister. I'm like, you know what I mean? So I get in the van, and she says, you need a ride. Where are you going? So I tell her where I'm going. Now, we get close to where I'm going, and she keeps going. Well, I'm going right. She said, I know. I'm going to take you. But I look out the side of my eye. I don't want to look her face to face because I'm looking bad. I'm looking crazy. I'm high as a kite. About 40 pounds underweight. Filthy. And I'm angry. And I don't want to look her in the face because I don't want to get convicted. I don't want to feel guilty about what I'm getting ready to do because my mind was made up. I was a soldier and an animal. And I was getting ready to go do something silly. And I looked over the side of my eye and she's praying. You know what I mean? Nothing thwarts a good man if somebody's sitting there praying next to you. You know, I'm about to waste a good man. You know what I mean? And my big sister said, Lyle. She said, what would you do if I took you home and there was a man in your house beating on your woman, kicking the kids around and tearing your house up. Boy, and I thought she was ready. You know, I'm thinking she's finally seen the light. She was ready to let me go get into this thing. I said, I'd go over there and tear his head up. I would do this and this and this and this. She said, good. She said, I'm taking you home because Satan is in your house. That resonated with me for a lot of years. But, and I say that to say this because I'm proud of her. You know what I mean? If you, and you know what? That day, my life didn't change, but it did. You know, you look at Peyton Manning. Let's use him for example. Peyton Manning in eighth grade playing football. Was he a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No.
Actually, he was. He was just a Hall of Fame quarterback in eighth grade. Mm. Wow. He was already on his way to be who he was.
Mm. Amen.
So when she began to talk to me that day, a seed was planted deep inside. You know, and somebody, some people think sometimes I'm kind of harsh. They say, man, you kind of harsh. But yeah, because some of the harsh things what reached me. See, because you couldn't flower coat, you couldn't sugarcoat, you couldn't color, rose color things with me because I would run over it and run over you. But those things today hinge on who I am becoming. Those very things. And I look at that with Abraham. I'm going to read a scripture here. It said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He didn't have no kids. And he was old. But he was the father of many nations. The word did not say, I am going to make you the father of many nations. It did not say, I am going to make you the man in your house. It did not say, I'm going to make you. It said, I have made you these things. God has called you to be something. Even tonight in this room, God has reached out to you. And you know God has dealt with you in situations where nobody was there but you. And he has told you some things about you. But you have to choose to believe those things because it's hard to believe those things. I can remember sitting in prison thinking this bit is never going to get over with. Thinking I'm going to die in this place. Because every day was the same and it was crawling by, creeping by. I am going, because when you're in a thing, you think you can't come out. You can't see the end of a thing. You sit there and believe that lie that you can't come out. I used to be so paranoid about dying in prison. That was one of my biggest fears. I'm going to die in prison. But when I got saved, I began to believe and understand in my heart it didn't matter where I died at. It mattered where I woke up.
Come on.
Don't matter where I die at today. I don't care where I die at. Don't care how I die. It don't matter. That's how I wake up. I want my life to be in a place where he said, well, God said, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want somebody to be able to look down in that box and say, boy, that was a fool right there. That dude was a fool. But because of him, me and my family are saved. Because of him, my kids haven't gone to prison. I want somebody to be able to say, he's the first Jesus I ever saw. I saw the Jesus in him. I used to complain about people calling me all night. My phone rings all the time. Like, man, I didn't know anybody else. Then I had to come to understand they're not calling me. They're calling Jesus. If I've given my life to God and Jesus is inside of me, they're calling Jesus. I'm nobody. But I had to learn these things. I had to begin to believe these things. You know, I used to fall in this thing here, but the last time I went to prison, I turned myself in for the things I had done. I gave my life to God, May 21st, 2011, and turned myself in that day. And my mom, I talked to my mom on the phone, and she told me, she said, baby, I'm not going to be here this time when you get back. That's a hard thing to listen to. But you know something? That thing shook me for about 10 seconds. Because God was in control of my life at that point. At that point, I had given my life to God, so no matter what happens, I was going to be in the will of God. Life is going to happen to me like it happens to everybody. God began to show me, you're going to be in the ministry with your sister. You and your sister are going to be in the ministry together. And I began to look forward and believe that thing. Right before I was down in IREF on my last bit, and I met a lady guard down there. I seem to always run to the lady guard. But anyway, she began to court me in prison. She was the shift supervisor, and she began to call me down to the offices, and we began to date. And I had fell in love with this woman. I fell in love with this woman. And she had went and came to visit my family, brought me some clothes, gave my brother some money to give to me when I get home. And she said, another night, when you get out, you come to my house and we're going to have a party and all these kind of things. Before I got ready to get out, Ray Charles' daughter came down to this prison and she began to preach. And she called me up front and she prophesied to me. She said, you are going back to Fort Wayne, and you are going to be associate pastor at a church you used to belong to. And I'm shaking my head, no. See, because I got this girl. I got my plan working. You understand what I'm saying? My plan is working. I got, no. I got this girl over here, and this is, you know, the night before I got out, she came up, woke me up. So I got this cool water cologne for you at home. I got this, and we got some ribs. We got this, we got that. So my little brother come down and got me the next night at midnight. I get out and I call and she don't answer the phone. And I call and she don't answer the phone. And I call her and she don't answer the phone. I came back to Fort Wayne. Today, I'm an armor bearer to Pastor Robert Clark at the church my mother and my sister got saved in. Today I'm an ordained minister. My sister and I are in the ministry together. Amen. But see, God had already called those things. And let me get back to the word here before we go any further. It says, I'm starting, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, because I lived my life like an idiot in front of the people at Wings of Deliverance. I stole from the church. I stole from the people. I lied. I played. I did everything there was to do in the world in front of these people. There's no way that I'm going to ever be in the ministry at that church. There's no way. But God, he said, and God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead. He understood that, man, I'm an old man. See, they didn't have Viagra back then, that kind of stuff. I mean, hey, look here, some of us old now. And say, man, hey, I'm trying to live off yesterday's dream, but this man believed it. He knew his body was dead. He was beyond childbearing age, but he believed God. Yes. He just believed him. See, that's where we have to get to be. It don't matter how much time is ahead of me. No matter what time I'm facing. No matter who my case manager is. It don't matter who my parole officer is. It don't matter who my neighbor is. It don't matter who my boss is. If God said this, I need to believe this thing and walk it out. I need to walk out, and the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered. So I had to live it. I'm talking about me. I had to live this thing out. When I first came out of prison, I had all these so-called opportunities. I dragged my little brother and my sister in. I dragged them in because we're going to make a lot of money doing this thing legally. They were all scams. I got scammed more than once. Lost money. And I'm thinking, to the point where the first time I wanted to put my hands on this guy. I thought if I see him, I'm going to put my hands on him. And see, I'm talking about saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, so I know that you can feel a thing because I had to learn that emotions and feelings are fickle. I had to learn that I'm going to feel a stupid way sometime, even saved. But I know I have to bring those thoughts into captivity into the obedience of Christ and do what God has asked me to be. Because it ain't about how I feel or how I look. Here I am so proud I'm going to do something to this man because he made me look bad. How did I look when I was really 240 pounds but I'm weighing 165 pounds? Running around the street filthy, dirty, stealing everything I can get my hands on. Unkempt, stinking. How did I look then? But now I'm so proud I'm going to walk outside the door. So I had to learn some things. So what I'm telling, somebody needs to hear this tonight. Everything that's in you is there. God has to tap into it and show you that it's there. He had to show me that I could take those things and do it. So I got to the place where that didn't bother me. So we went into another adventure. Like, this is going to work this time. And it didn't work. You know, I got in the guy with these guys came to me and said, I got this truck and I'm going to do this. I'm going to open all these restaurants. I want you to be the general manager. I'm going to do it for a couple of years. I'm going to leave it to you and I want you to leave this and this and this. And so now I got a way to bring my family up because my father's passed away. My oldest brother's not living like he ought to live. So I am the patriarch of the family. So I'm going to do something, make a legacy. And it fell through. But I know God had already told me he's going to raise it. He had told me he had raised a standard in my life. He told me that I was going to be above and not beneath. He told me I was going to be the head and not the tail. He told me I was going to be the lender and not the borrower. So those things didn't mean anything to me. Well, when I parted ways with the young man, we got to part. We parted ways clean. I said, brother, I love you, but this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I got to go. And God continued to do things. Let me read just a little more. Let me get back to that. And being now weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was old. He old. She old. Womb dry. How y'all have kids? Huh? But he just believed. Even when his wife laughed at him. You don't got to raise your hand, but how does it hurt in here of men when your wife laughs at you? When your wife don't believe in you? When your wife thinks being about, no man wants to feel belittled in front of his wife. You want to see a saved man fight, belittle him in front of his wife. Make him feel less than. And see if he don't come off the square on you. But this man believes so hard. And we try to say, we know the end of the story. So we try to say, well, yeah, because God. But he didn't know God was going to do those things. He just believed him.
Yeah.
He was a man just like we are. He was a human being. All he knew that at his age, his body was dead. But God. It said he staggered not in the promise of God, though through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God has called us to a thing. He's promised you some things. You don't have to share that thing tonight. But you know in your heart, God has called you to do something. He's called you to be something. And it gets hard sometimes. It was hard for me because I wanted it now. I got out. I was home. I had been saved some years. And I got out of prison. And I was doing things that had been out a couple years, a few years, and the promises had not yet come to fruition in the way that I wanted them to come to fruition. See, because I was looking for the wrong things. I was looking for wealth as I understood it. I was looking for prestigiousness as I understood it. I was looking to get ahead for a crown as I understood it. I had to learn some things. God taught me. And all those, in those years when things kept falling apart, I didn't miss a meal. When things start falling apart, excuse me. When things start falling apart, I wasn't on the streets. My bills were being met. I wasn't raggedy. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't stealing. I wasn't lying. I wasn't playing on nobody. So even in those couple years that it appeared, Pastor, that I was lean, God had me rich. In these years now, where you may say, well, I'm at a half a house, I'm this, that, but you know what? You're not cold. Somebody tonight is cold. Just a few months ago, my brother and we walked to 10 Point. They saw a lady going behind the alley, behind a dumpster, to spread out her blanket. Because she was going to sleep behind that, in that alley behind that dumpster. Caucasian lady, had no business in that neighborhood doing those things in that alley. Nobody does, but really, she was really out of place. She wasn't even from Fort Wayne. And then two guys come along, and a dude pointed at her and said, there she is right there. That's the lady I had in the parking lot a little while ago. My brother and them in the 10-point had enough words to go get her. They went and got her. Got her up out of that alley. Prayed with her. I happened to pull up at that time. Prayed with her. Took her to a shelter. Nobody did anything to her else that night. You understand, you're not cold. You may not be in that big house that you pictured in your mind, but the house is there. You just got to keep walking. The things God has promised you are there. The man he's called you to be, or you are him now. The woman he's called you to be, you are that. The enemy of being what God has called you to, the enemy of that is going to be. Well, you know what? I'm going to be a good mom. No, don't going to be. Be a good mom. You may not have your children with you, but you can pray for your kids. You can start taking the little money you got and put some aside to do something better. You can tell yourself that no matter what, I'm not putting no dope in me. You can tell yourself no matter what, I'm not selling my body ever again. You can tell yourself no matter what, I'm not going to walk out of this place. If nobody in this place likes me, I'm not going to walk out because I'm going to get what I got. Because one day I want to have my kids back. But you've got to start being a good father right here, right now, not tomorrow, not going to be. Well, when I get my job, when I get my checks, when I get this, I'm going to start being a good dad. No, you'll be a good dad broke. Get on your knees and petition God for your children. Write your kids and tell them who they are. You put your head on your kids. Yeah, you've been gone for a while. But God said he'll restore all the locusts that eat it away. He would give it back all that the cake of worm has eaten away. You come home because you've been in the streets all these years acting a fool, and your kid looked like you, but he sounded like somebody else because somebody else had put their head on your kid. But it's time now. God said he redeemed the time. It's time now for you to tell him who he is. It's time for you to tell him who she is. It's time for you to believe who you are. How can you tell them who they are and you don't even know who you are? You don't even believe who God called you to be. We got to walk out of that, what I call a fly mentality. It's a fly mentality. And because nobody, is anybody here blind, legally blind? There's nobody here legally blind. So the Bible, it says, I don't know if it says the Bible, but it says, there's a saying that goes around and says, there's no one so blind as one that won't see. Then they say, can't see. He said, he won't see. I call that a fly mentality. I was sitting in a hotel one night. I'd be getting high. I'm sitting on the side of the bed waiting till the checkout time so I can go figure out my next adventure, because that's what they were, adventures. And I got the window open and the door is open next to the window. And this fly keeps flying into the screen. Boop, fire, you know, I heard it. I heard the thump. And that's why I look, you know, when you're having that, on that dope and you probably got warrants, like I always had a warrant. So any noise you hear, you look around. You know, you can hear a roach crawling on a wall when you paranoid. So I'm looking around, this fly, he's hitting that tree. Boop, boop, boop. And then he stopped and rested on the screen. And as he did that, and I realized now it was God dealing with me. I looked down in the window sill, in the sill there, in about 5 or 6 dead flies. About 5 or 6 dead flies who had tried that same thing, Pastor, who had tried that window over and over and over, the same thing some of us have done. Been to prison, and when we come back and try the window sill again, like the screen is going to move this time, and then you've got eyes, you see others laying in the window sill who the screen has beaten them before, but it's not going to beat you because you're better. So you keep hitting that dog on the screen, looking at these dead people behind you, but you just said nobody here is blind. Why don't you see that?
Come on.
Why don't you open your eyes and understand that? Well, I'm not going to smoke this, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to get me a little bit of spice. Where did it get you from the start? Where did it don't get me from the start? It's not about who knows I'm smoking. A guy called me for a job, been bugging me. And you know what? I got his application. I was going to go say something, and I kept forgetting. And I'm not a forgetful person because I'm about my business. I never get on Facebook anymore, hardly. When I use the bathroom, I'll look through it. And as I began to look through Facebook, boom, the young man's picture pop up. He got one hand in a gang sign and the other hand with a fifth of liquor in the air. But he want me to sign, co-sign for him. He want me to co-sign for him. Listen, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me. Don't ask me, because I'm not going to. You should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I came to help somebody get free. So I had to take my life to a place where I had to exhaust every excuse to get high. You know, it used to be a time where if I got cancer, if my mama died, if this happened or that happened, I'm going to get high. You know, if somebody make me mad, I used to say stuff like that. People I hated out there, if I ever find out I got cancer, I'm going to go kill him. You know what I mean? I used to say that out of my mouth. That dumb stuff. But you know what? God had to see if my life was changed. He had to see if I was a liar or if I had given my life to him, because I got cancer. Cancer came up on me. But you know what? I didn't do no dope. You know what? I didn't go kill anybody. You know what? I didn't stop following God. You know what? I never stopped preaching the word. I never stopped living right. I never stopped doing the best I knew how to do. And you know what? God took that cancer. There's 0% cancer in my body today. But what I'm telling you, it doesn't. I had to get to a place where it don't matter. Well, I had to get to a place where no matter what, that's what you got to get to. You got to believe that promise that he told you. Just because you don't see it today, and it is hard when you don't see a thing standing in front of you. But you got to see things that be not as though they were. You have to believe those things. You got to walk those things out. I had to walk them out. I joined the church. I was the assistant to the pastor of that church. And they were grooming me to become the pastor. We were at a meeting one night with the church, with the leaders, all the church leaders, the church leadership team. And the pastor got out of his chair and he told me, he said, "Hey, come here, Lyle." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Sit there." I said, "Where?" He said, "Right there." I said, "That's your chair." He said, "I said, sit there." So I sat down and the pastor told me, he told everybody in the church, "This is prophetic." But because I couldn't see what God had said, I allowed situations and circumstances to end up. I ended up leaving that church, that pastor ended up passing away. And people still, you should have stayed at that church. You'd have been pastor of that church by now. But see, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not in this for a title. I'm not in this because I want someone to pat me on the back. 80% of things I do, people don't even know it was me that did it, and that doesn't matter. What makes a difference are the men and women whose lives have changed, who they're with their families now, you know, who no longer have that number to worry about. You know, they say, "Well, I'm an ex-con." Yeah, that's exactly it. People say, "Well, I'm an addict." You know, I go, now, I'm not going to be much longer, but I'll go into the AA meeting. I'm a member of AA, or in Narcotics Anonymous, not AA, but Narcotics Anonymous. And when I go in there, if you've ever heard me speak in Narcotics Anonymous, when I get up, I say, "Hello, my name is Lyle, and I am an addict." But I'm telling you here tonight, I am not an addict. I am redeemed by the blood of Christ. I'm saved, sanctified, delivered from that life. I am not a dope fiend. But the Bible says, Paul says, "I become all things to all men, that by all means I may win some for the kingdom of God." And so I had to be the man where he is. So if it takes me to let you know I'm an addict, but I'm not doing no dope. I'm an addict, but I'm meeting all my bills. I'm an addict, but I'm meeting my responsibilities. My relationships are honorable today. I'm respected at my job. I'm respected in my church. I'm respected in my community. I'll say that so I can help you to get from that to this. But remember, God didn't make no junk. I wasn't there when he called you what he told you. But you know I'm not lying. It's resonating in your heart that day he told you what he told you. Walk on those things. Stand on those things. Believe in those things. Don't let no devil, don't let no time, no man, no obstacle. The bigger the obstacle, the bigger the miracle. All the things I am today, I'm going to close with this for sure. All the things I am today, I'm the team lead at Shambaugh & Sons. I can walk in that office tomorrow and say, hey, I need this guy here. I need him out here. And they'll call him that week. I can leave work, go downtown to the courthouse to see about somebody. And you know what they do when I leave work? Hey, we'll punch you out at 3:30. I'm the armor bearer in a huge ministry in Fort Wayne that I really respect. I am the team lead of the 10-point coalition. They just launched 10-point USA. 36 cities around this country have asked to start, and I'm one of the people they've asked to come. Now I'm going to start traveling to these different cities to help this get started. I'm not saying this to brag about anything. I'm a mentor in the faith-based ministry. I am a mentor in the courtroom. I can take my phone. I got a court order. I can take my phone in the courtroom. I can go to the judge's chambers and talk to them, and they'll listen. I'm saying this to say this. Those gifts were always in me. Amen. Those gifts were always in me. The Bible says your gifts come without repentance. Amen. You are some gifted people. Amen. I did time with people who could figure out anything in the world, make a ladder out of rope. But what I'm saying is you are gifted. Give your talent back to God. Amen. And let him use it in the way you should use it. Now, hey, one thing I want to do before we start. All the mentors, raise your hand. Every the mentors in the room tonight. Eunice, raise your hand. Yeah, all the mentors. If there's no reason to leave this place tonight, not tapped into the source of the power, the gifts are yours, the power is his. Amen. I want to thank you for listening. Amen.